Going to start discussing the Gospel of John. So if you want to open your Bibles to that Gospel. John, as you know, is one of the three primary apostles. He is one of them that Jesus took with him to the Mount Transfiguration, Peter, James, and John. He is also one that went out into the garden with Jesus to pray. One of the disciples, he is the disciple that laid his head upon the chest of Jesus at the supper. So he is also the one that was allowed to follow Jesus even all the way to the crucifixion. And he is the one that Jesus, looking down, saw him and his mother Mary and said, "Behold thy mother and behold thy son." So John is a beloved disciple, apostle of Jesus Christ. He is one that we find, perhaps, I would imagine, was the longest living apostle. In the end of his days, he was exiled to the Isle of Patmos. It was on the Isle of Patmos where John received the revelation from Jesus Christ of things that were going to come upon the world and upon the church. This gospel is a gospel that many people have said is a gospel of chronological setting. In other words, it follows better, perhaps, the events and the things that happened with Jesus throughout the time. Also, you might notice that John omits things such as that of the Last Supper or that of the communion is not mentioned in the book of John. But he covers other things that aren't mentioned in some of the other gospels. And that's why it's important to read all four of the gospels and to look at all the work of Jesus and his life. We'll begin in the first two verses of this chapter. The Bible says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God." John starts off this chapter. He starts off his gospel by proclaiming the deity of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ indeed is the Son of God, but not only is he the Son of God, he himself is God. Now you say, how can that possibly be? Well, the God is used as that of the Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Jesus is what is being spoken of here in the first verse where he says in the beginning. And when he goes to the beginning, he of course is going back to the very beginning of this world. When this world was formed, even beyond that, even prior to that. And there was the Word. And as we talked on this subject a few weeks ago, we come to realize that what made Jesus Christ the Word was not only was he sent to deliver the message, but the message he delivered was, he was the message. And this is what set him apart from everyone else who preached the Word of God, who brought the Word of God, who spread the Word of God. What made Jesus in particularly known as the Word and not those individuals was that he is the message that was brought from God. He was with God from the very beginning, as John teaches us here. The same was in the beginning with God. So he proclaims the deity of Jesus Christ in these two verses, telling us he's with God before all these things started here. He is the Word and he is himself God. In verse 3, he says, "All things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not." Here he tells us that Jesus Christ made all things. There was nothing made that was not made by him. This is proclaimed as well by Paul over in the book of Colossians, where he says that all things were made by him, and that nothing was made that wasn't made for him or by him. In this we come to realize that Christ was there with God in the very beginning when the creation started. If we were to think how this came about, perhaps in our mind, if we were to rationalize when God said, "Let there be light," that it was his Son Jesus Christ who was making the light. So perhaps we can look at it in that fashion. But what John is telling us here is indeed that Jesus Christ is deity. He is God. He earned that position or had that position. He was born of God and he came to this earth and like man so that he could die on the cross of Calvary for us in that great plan that God had made, the Father had made from the very beginning. In him was life. Jesus says later on in this very same gospel that he is the life. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh to the Father but by him. So in him is life. Without him there is no eternal life. And that's what John is speaking of here. Life was the light of men. Jesus came and he says that he is the light of the world. Well, that light is what brought men out of the darkness that he mentions in verse 5, which is the darkness of sin and of the world, and brought man into the light, brought man into, again, the relationship with God, because God is light, the Bible says, and in him is no darkness at all. So this light shined even through the darkness of the sin of this world and brought to us that we needed to become saved, that we needed to become part of the light, that we needed to become righteous. If you look at it in that respect, darkness is that of sin and righteousness is that of light. And so he brought that light to us where we can have that light and access to eternal life. Beginning in verse 6, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. Here, John the apostle brings about the knowledge of John the Baptist and his role in this plan of salvation, his role in this great plan that God had for mankind. He sent a man whose name was John. His name was John the Baptist. We know that he came in eating wild honey and locusts. He was a man dressed in camel hair. Not a man that you would suspect, not in like a three-piece suit today. He came in camel hair, but he came to deliver a message, a powerful message, an important message. And that message was, prepare yourselves because one is coming, who, as John states a little later here, was not worthy to even unlatch his shoes. So John the Baptist was the forerunner for Jesus Christ. He came to bear witness of that light that was to come, but he himself was not that light. In verses 9 through 11, that was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. So now this is what John the Baptist came to proclaim, was that Jesus Christ was coming into this world. Jesus, as he says here, is the true light. He is the one that brings the light of the Word of God so that it penetrates into the hearts, the souls of man, to make man what man ought to be and pull him out of that darkness of sin. He came to this world, and even though the world was made by him, as John already stated, the world did not know him. And, of course, he came to his own, meaning he came to the Jews. Those were the people that he was born of that race, and they did not receive him. So we know the story of Jesus. We know how he came to this world and he was rejected of his own people, of his nation, but he was also rejected of the world. And yet he was the one that made the very world that the people who rejected him were living in. He made the world of them who did not receive him. In verses 12 and 13, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. So Jesus came, and those who would receive him received a power to become a child of God. Now we know that that power is what Paul speaks of in Romans 1 and 16, when he says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. So we realize that the power that Jesus brought to man was the very Word of God itself. It was the message that he is the message, that through him man could be saved and man could come out of this sin, live in the light, walk in the light, and be an individual who himself is a carrier of that very same light. He is not people that were born of flesh and blood. So there John clarifies it mattered no longer that man was going to be born of the seed of Abraham or the lineage of Abraham, but he had to be born of the lineage of Jesus Christ, which is to be born by the Spirit and not of the flesh. As he says, they were born of God. In verses 14 through 18, he talks about the incarnation of Christ. He says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld the glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, this was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. So in these words here, John brings to our knowledge and attention that the Word was made flesh. This message was made flesh. Well, we know that's Jesus Christ he's talking about there. Him being in the flesh dwelt among us, John said. And we beheld his glory. Now, John's referring here to when they went into the Mount Transfiguration. And John himself was a witness to Jesus being glorified in front of them, putting on the image of glory in front of them and caused them all to bow down and to worship on that mount, seeing that he was transfigured before them. He was full of grace and truth. Grace being the unmerited favor of God, truth being the Word of God. This is what Jesus is in that message, the Word. John saw and bear witness of him. He was one that he says here that he spake of. He comes after me. He's preferred for before me. And he was before me. So John is saying also, as he's bringing to our attention, that John the Baptist taught that Jesus was there before John was, meaning that Jesus was with the Father before in the very beginning, as we've already pointed out. That he brought, he was preferred more than John. John was simply the forerunner to pave the way to get people's minds prepared for Jesus to come into this world. Hear his message now. Now, John had many disciples, and he had many people who come out and heard him preach, this man in camel hair. And he had nothing to hold back. He let everybody have it. He was a fire and brimstone preacher. He was there preparing the way that Jesus Christ to come into this world and to bring his message. He says that he was full of grace, as he says in verse 16, and that it was grace for grace. We've received this grace, this unmerited favor that's in Jesus Christ. We receive grace once we are in that grace, which is the offering of Jesus Christ our Lord. The law indeed was given by Moses, but grace and truth, he says, came by Jesus Christ. He brought to us again that unmerited favor of that sacrifice that he gave, and then the truth of God's Word to light the way for every man. We've not seen God, but the one who has is the only begotten Son. Now, John refers to Jesus several times as of the only begotten Son of God. And that word comes from a Greek word, monogenes, meaning there's only one. There's not more than one, just one. Jesus Christ, the only one that holds that position of being born of God. And, of course, being in the family of God. He was in the bosom of the Father, and God has declared him to be his Son, as Jesus has declared God to be his Father. And bringing in verse 19 through verse 28, he mentions here, and this is the record of John, when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who art thou?" And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." And they asked him, "What then? Art thou Elias?" And he saith, "I am not." Art thou that prophet? And he answered, "No." Then said they unto him, "Who art thou, that we may give an answer to them that sent us? What sayest thou of thyself?" He said, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah." And they which were sent were of the Pharisees. And they asked him and said unto him, "Why baptizest thou then, if thou be not that Christ, nor Elias, neither that prophet?" John answered them, saying, "I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom ye know not. He it is who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoes latchet I am not worthy to unloose. These things were done in Bethabara beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing." So the Pharisees, the Sadducees, they sent out these people to go find out who this John the Baptist character is. This man in this camel hair who's eating locusts and wild honey. This man who's out there preaching these fire and brimstone lessons. This man who's out there baptizing people. Go find out what he's all about and who he is. So they went out there to bear record of him. He said, I am not the Christ. They ask him about being Elias or that prophet. Who they're speaking of here is that the Bible says that Elijah would come before Jesus and would prepare his ways. Now we know, as we can see in the gospel, that John the Baptist filled that in spirit. And that's what the Bible was speaking of. Not that the prophet of old would resurrect from the dead or would come down from heaven and would preach to these people, but the fact that in spirit, the same way that Elijah preached to the people, was John the Baptist preaching to the people. And of course, Jesus says, if you will have him, this is who he is. So, as he talks about here, as he goes on, and they, of course, ask him the question, and he says that he is simply the one, he's the voice that cried in the wilderness to make straightway the path of the Lord, as was prophesied in Isaiah. So they, of course, then ask him, well, then why are you baptizing people if you're not the Christ? And he simply said, I baptize with water, but this one coming after me is much greater than I, who I'm not even worthy to unlatch the shoes of his feet. And then John tells us where these events were taking place at. Beginning in verse 29 through 34, the next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, After me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me, and I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him, and I knew him not. But he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, Upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. Now, the Pharisees and Sadducees had to be thinking that it was time for the Christ to come. Of course, if you go back to the book of Daniel and you read there about the timeline of the 70 weeks that Daniel's given, you would realize that it was coming. It was very close to that time frame. And they, of course, should have been looking for Christ. Even when the wise men came from the east and spoke to Herod at the birth of Christ and said, Where is he that is born King of the Jews? They should have been looking for Christ. But yet, not reading the Scriptures, not knowing the Scriptures like they should have, they were not, even though these wise men did. So throughout the time of Christ, for this 30 years before Christ announces, before he comes into this ministry, they should have been seeking him out. They should have known it was time for the Messiah to be born, to come into the world. Now, of course, their idea of who the Messiah was and what he was here to do was totally wrong when it came to who he actually was and what he was actually sent here to do and what he was going to do. But the next day, as John is out there baptizing, he's already informed them, there's one among you, hasn't been identified yet, but he's among you, and he is the one you're looking for. So here comes Jesus down to John. He wants to be baptized. John said, I have need to be baptized of you, as we find in the other Gospels. But yet Jesus says, no, suffer it to be so. I've got to be baptized. I've got to follow what God's plan is. And so John took him and he baptized him. When he baptized him, he came up out of the water and a dove descended upon him. And of course, that was a sign to John that this is the one that he was sent to be the forerunner for. This is the one who is, as he says here, I bear record that this is the Son of God. In verses 30, beginning in verse 35, he now says, And again the next day after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, Behold, the Lamb of God. Indeed, as he already proclaimed him to be the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. He goes on to say, And the two disciples heard him speak, and they follow Jesus. So now here they are with John. They are his disciples, his followers, his learners, his students. They see Jesus. John points him out and says, Behold, the Lamb of God. So these two men decide that they're going to go and they're going to now walk with Jesus, and they're not going to be with John any longer. He goes on to say in verse 38, "And Jesus turned and saw them following, and saith unto them, What seek ye? They said unto him, Rabbi," which is to say, being interpreted, Master, "where dwellest thou?" And he saith unto them, "Come and see." They came and saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. So as it was getting late into the day, as they see Jesus, as it was proclaimed by John that he indeed is the Son of God, the one that taketh away the sins of the world, these two men leave John and they follow after Jesus. He goes on to say here that they wanted to know where Jesus lived, so Jesus took them to the place where he dwelt, and there they were with him. It says in verse 40, "One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon, Peter's brother. And he first findeth his own brother, Simon, and saith unto him, We have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. Then he brought him to Jesus, and when Jesus beheld him, he saith, Thou art Simon the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone." Here is something that's been used many times. Andrew, who's one of those who is following Jesus, has a brother. His brother's name is Peter. Andrew brought one to Christ, and Peter brought 3,000 on the day he preached the gospel. So there's been many people who have used that in sermons throughout history to show how important it can be just to bring one to Christ. Here, Andrew brought one, his brother. But look who his brother turned out to be, and look how many his brother turned out to help to save. So as Peter came there, as Jesus sees him, he says, "You're no longer going to be known as Peter or Simon, not going to be known as Simon. You're now going to be known as Cephas," which is a stone, which we know is the name for Peter that he is called. He goes on to say in verse 43, "The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and findeth Philip, saith unto him, Follow me." Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip findeth Nathanael, and saith unto him, "We have found him, of whom Moses and the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." And Nathanael said unto him, "Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth?" Philip saith unto him, "Come and see." Now Nazareth, as we know, was looked upon as a poverty-stricken city. It was not a city where anybody renowned or anybody such as that had come out of. It was a city that where a lot of poor people lived. Perhaps there were people who were even people of society that people looked down upon. But this is where our Lord came from. He was born in Bethlehem. He went into Egypt. When he came back from Egypt, they went to the town of Joseph, and he was raised in the city of Nazareth. So Philip, the question Nathan asked was, "Is there anything good that can come out of Nazareth?" And Philip told him, "Come and see." In verse 47, "Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and saith unto him, Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. Nathanael saith unto him, Whence knowest thou me? Jesus answered and said unto him, Before that Philip called thee, when thou was under the fig tree, I saw thee." So here Nathanael's coming to realize very quick who this man is that he's standing in front of, because Jesus knew where Philip was going. He knew who he was going to talk to. He knew where Nathanael was at. And he knew Nathanael was indeed a very good man. Nathanael answered and saith unto him, "Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel." Jesus answered and said unto him, "Because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these." So because Jesus knew everything about Nathanael, he knew where Nathanael was at, he knew that Philip was going to fetch him, he knew these things. Nathanael declared, "Well, you must be the Son of God." And Jesus says, "Why? Because I knew that simple thing about you. You'll see much greater than that." And of course, indeed, he would. And what an opportunity that would have been for anyone to have been invited into the closeness of Jesus and to be able to see all the things that he did when he was here. Verse 51, "He saith unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see heaven open, the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." So here, as you might refer back to the story of Jacob, who saw, as people have referred to, Jacob's ladder, with the angels ascending and descending that ladder. Jesus says from here on out, you'll see them ascending and descending on the Son of Man. That's on himself. In other words, he has the power from heaven. He is of heaven. And he, of course, is there to present this light, this word, this message that's going to save mankind from their sin and bring them out of the world. And this brings conclusion of John chapter 1. If you want this evening, won't you come while we stand and sing?